the proof is in the pudding. The data will tell you what you need to do or where you need to put your dollars, what's working and what's not. So it's super critical to make sure you're looking at all of that.
You're totally right. And I think when we kind of go back to the what should advertisers do to stay competitive, it's really about being a lot more strategic. Gone are the days of people being really in the minute details of each individual campaign. But now are the days of someone really needing to be smart and strategic about how you're actually allocating the budget across different platforms.
You're listening to Bluetooth, the home services podcast featuring the top owners, marketers, and operators across the trade, bringing contractors together to uncover real problems, provide real solutions, and push the trades forward. This is Bluetooth.
Welcome back, listeners. It's your host, Brandon Doyle, and we're back with another exciting episode of Bluetooth, the home services podcast powered by Blue Corona. I'm really excited for today's guest. We have one of our very own team members on, Kylie Castrucci. Kylie is our director of paid media, and I'm really excited to talk with her today and allow her to share her knowledge. Kylie, welcome, and thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And
so, Kylie, tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get your start in digital marketing? How long have you been in digital marketing? Catch me and our listeners up to speed on all things Kylie Castrucci, director of paid media.
Yeah, so I've been in the industry now for about 15 years. I started out basically in college and then kind of right out of college, I joined a company. It was a local newspaper agency that was owned by Gannett, and they decided to go digital. So I joined their company as the executive assistant to the advertising director, which is kind of a mouthful.
That sounds like a position straight from Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah. And yeah. Under, you know, the advertising director's wing, I learned all things advertising, both on the traditional side and on the digital side. And from there, I just really knew that my path was on the digital side. And so I worked my way into some digital specific roles and primarily in paid media. So I started, you know, managing some campaigns myself, supporting our sales teams, kind of doing the strategy for clients. And then from there, I've, you know, been at a few different stops. I've worked both in-house and in other agencies. So I've worked across many different industries, many different brands, really supporting all things paid media. And now coming here to Blue Corona, I'm overseeing all of our paid media initiatives.
And when you say paid media, can you define that for us, Kylie? Because, you know, a lot of our listeners, of course, they're going to hear paid and marketing and think pay-per-click, Google ads, right? And my marketing agency sucks because my cost per lead is too high, right? So can you define paid media for us? Like, what all does paid media include? What are we really talking about here?
Yeah, great question. So paid media is kind of the upper level umbrella of all things digital paid advertising. So under that umbrella, you'll have lots of different types of media that is paid for, like paid search, paid social, programmatic display, programmatic audio, connected TV, right? The list goes on and on. And those are all different types of paid media channels. So I know a lot of our listeners will probably, you know, to your point, understand the terminology PPC, pay-per-click. And pay-per-click is a type of paid media, but it is under that paid media umbrella. Pay-per-click literally is kind of what it says. It is the type of paid advertising where an advertiser pays every time the user clicks on their ads. But there are lots of different ways to buy paid media. You can buy impression-based, you can buy conversion-based, you can buy, you know, click-based, you can buy, you know, flight-based. So really, paid media is kind of the terminology that encompasses all of those different types of paid advertising and paid media mediums.
Now, of course, Kylie, you touched on a whole lot of different things there. Any form of digital paid advertising could mean one of a million different things, right? And you listed several examples, but there's a lot that's been happening, you know, from Google and Microsoft in particular, but a lot of these paid platforms, whether it be Google Local Services ads, Yelp, connected TV, OTT, you name it, they're all changing so rapidly. And it's impossible for someone like me to keep up with every change. And I live and breathe this stuff every day, maybe not as much as you, right? But I'm in the digital marketing world. So with all of these changes that are happening, Kylie, can you just kind of summarize, like, where are we at What's the current state of paid media as it relates to home services marketing? Like, what is happening big picture right now?
I would say the most important thing for us and, you know, our listeners to keep an eye on is really this trend towards autonomy. And I'm gonna answer in a few different ways, but I think this is kind of the biggest piece here. So as advertising platforms are really trying to figure out how they continue to take the biggest pieces of the pie, right? The overall advertising pie. They are moving to a world where they have more control over their advertisers' campaigns. I'll give you a couple examples. So Performance Max, that's a campaign type that Google recently rolled out. Microsoft is actually rolling out a version of it as well, but Google was, you know, kind of first there to that. And Performance Max campaigns, also known as PMAX, are really the campaign type where all of the different types of campaigns get rolled into one. So your paid search campaigns, your display campaigns, your video campaigns, they all come in under one, what they call smart campaign. And the platform then chooses which type of ads to deliver, where to deliver them, how to deliver them, all of that. And so it's a truly a campaign that provides the most autonomy to the ad platform and allows them to use all of their really, you know, multitude of data signals and data points to determine how to deliver the campaign to provide the best return for the advertiser. So that's just one example of the way that these advertising platforms are kind of moving to a world where it's a balance between the advertiser's control and their control. But the ultimate idea here is that we are really shifting to a world where there's a lot more automation and also where the platforms are going to want to be in control of more than they have been previously.
So does that make it more difficult or easier to kind of get ahead of the competition when it comes to paid advertising?
In terms of getting ahead of the competition, it in many ways kind of levels the playing field, right? If it's, say we're running, multiple advertisers are running these kind of automated autonomous campaigns. It allows for people or advertisers, regardless of their size, to really compete on the same level. Because if all that they have to do is upload the varying assets and then the system takes it from there, it sort of allows each advertiser to have all of the same levers to pull to be competitive with each other. So the reality is that, you know, we're definitely moving to a world where a lot more of the executionary work is going to be controlled by the advertising platforms. And what that means in turn is that the way that you get ahead of your competition is to have more strategic insights and to be just more strategic in general about where you're allocating your dollars across different channels, different platforms, different types of paid media. So instead of worrying about, you know, each campaign's allocations or each campaign strategy, the strategic level really comes to, where should I place my dollars? Should it be across Google, Microsoft, connected TV, all these other platforms? So it kind of takes everybody a step up and really makes everyone focus on kind of the overarching strategic way that you're allocating your budget and handling your paid media.
Why do the platforms want more control? Is it, what's the benefit for the advertisers? I mean, is it feeding information for the algorithms? Is it so that the platforms have access to our data? What's the why behind the platforms wanting more control and the industry moving in this direction of more autonomy and your PPC or your paid media specialist strategizing rather than executing?
Yeah. So, you know, we of course love to partner with all these platforms. So I don't mean to say this in any sort of negative way, but, you know, these ad platforms, they are for-profit businesses, right? So They tend to make changes and roll things out that really do support their bottom line. And so I'll elaborate on that a little bit. So these ad platforms have hundreds of different data signals about their users that they could not share with people externally, right? So like I wouldn't have access to it as an advertiser. You wouldn't have access to it as an advertiser. But for example, Google has access to it because all of those data signals come from all the properties and the information from those properties that they own. So Google really knows, again, just using Google as an example, Google really knows that they have the richest data and that they will be able to use that data to deliver campaigns that are more likely to get users to click and convert. And as you know, especially with Google, which is a pay-per-click model, typically, right? The more clicks that happen, the more money Google makes. So they want to run campaigns in a way where they are putting their bets on the fact that they are going to receive the most amount of clicks from users, because that in turn drives them the most amount of revenue as a business. So it's advantageous for both the advertiser and for the ad platform, because of course, more clicks is good for the advertiser, but more clicks is also good for the ad platform. So really, that's kind of the reason behind autonomy, right? Is they feel like they are best equipped, and they may very well be, right? To have all of those really granular, rich data signals to ensure that they are running campaigns that are going to drive the best return for whatever an advertiser is investing.
I like how you said that, Kylie. I mean, it creates kind of this win-win scenario, right? Google wants to satisfy its shareholders. And again, we're using Google as an example, right? Microsoft, whoever, wants to satisfy its shareholders. So it wants to do everything in its power to get you more clicks, you know, in that pay-per-click model. But, you know, that can be somewhat costly, or folks can be a little hesitant, you know, to invest in new campaign types, especially maybe if they're feeding a platform as big as Google their information, which, sorry to our clients out there, Google doesn't care about our information so much, but the collective information, so you shouldn't be scared. But, you know, all of these things that go into any sort of paid media, there's a cost associated to it. And that's where I want to start, right? Because in our world, you know, working with home service companies, a big driving factor in whether or not these companies are able to be successful and really compete and outwork their competition on the internet are, you know, number one, you need to have a competent agency, right? But let's assume that's in place. It's, do you have the budget and the right expectations of what you're going to get out of that budget in return? And if not, you know, again, you could have inflated cost and waste a ton of money. And right now in the state of the contracting world, I mean, money's tight. Homeowners are kind of clinging to their wallets a little bit. So again, I want to start there. You know, something I've seen at trade shows or talking with different folks at different industry events is they all say that paid advertising getting more expensive, and they blame the marketing agencies because they call, they need more leads, and the marketing agency says, well, you got to spend more. But there's this feeling out there that costs are higher today than they were maybe 2 or 3, even 4 years ago, kind of, you know, at the start of the pandemic or during the pandemic. So let's start with that. Fact or fiction? Is it a myth? Is the cost of advertising for contractors more expensive today or less expensive or about the same?
Yeah. So the sort of summarized answer to that is myth as it relates to the home services industry, right? So you and, you know, our listeners here, right, may have seen information from other industries where costs to play in these advertising spaces are increasing. And that is fact, right, for those other industries. But what we're seeing for the home services space is that it's actually not more expensive to play. I can give you a little stat that I have, but from beginning of 2023 to the end of 2023 and going into 2024 so far, and this is, again, this one's specific to Google, we are seeing that the cost per click, which kind of dictates the entry point of doing business with Google, right? That has gone down about 10%. So on average, our cost per clicks for our clients have decreased by 10%. So when we talk about kind of the entry to doing advertising in the home services space, it hasn't really gotten any more expensive. Now, I want to kind of elaborate on that a little bit more because that's great news. But there is kind of this flip side of things, right? Where to your point in the home services space, people are definitely clinging to their wallets a lot more, especially post-pandemic and with the state of inflation today, right? People in general are doing more of the must-dos and not the wants. So that's also trickling over to the home services industry. And as a result, what we're seeing is that it's not necessarily more expensive to play in these advertising spaces, but conversion rates are down very substantially because these users are being a lot more stringent about committing to some of these services. So to kind of elaborate with a stat on that, our conversion rates across the boards from the beginning of 2023 into 2024, they are down 23%. So again, cost per clicks are down 10%, which is great, a little bit less expensive to play. But because conversion rates are down 23%, right, our cost per leads have risen. So it will cost you more to acquire a lead today than it did, let's say, the beginning of last year or into 2022, right? But it's not because it's more expensive to play. It's because the state of the business, the state of the industry is that people are not converting or committing as easily or as willingly as they once were before. So it definitely, when you kind of summarize it, it is a little bit more expensive to do business, but it's certainly not because the entry cost of doing advertising is going up.
So to put it in another way, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's almost like, I have two young girls and we went to the zoo this past summer. So it's almost like the cost of admission to the zoo has not increased, but the price of food and your souvenirs and the toy, the stuffed rhino that we came home with, all of that increased in order for the zoo to meet their revenue goals. Is that a fair analogy there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the total, you know, gross costs to run business today in the home services industry is more expensive than it was last year. But the kind of note here is that it's not because doing advertising is all of a sudden more expensive. It's because of the state of the business as a whole.
Well, I think it's getting harder to buy as a consumer too, right? I mean, when you think about interest rates, not only for businesses going up or loans, I mean, as a homeowner, if I'm presented with three or four new options for a home comfort system or whatever project I'm doing right now, you're right. I mean, it's harder for me to get finance, or those interest rates are higher. So that project just became more expensive than it was 3 days ago. And then on the flip side of that, you know, it's getting harder for businesses to borrow money and it's getting more expensive as well. So it seems to be kind of this never ending game where, you know, the homeowners are hesitant to spend, which has a downstream effect on the contractors, right? And then the contractors are left wondering, well, why are costs going up and what is happening? And so, you know, that's where I always advise them, like, control what's within your control, right? If costs are going up a little bit, maybe take a look at your strategy. Maybe are you investing in the right platforms, or maybe we need to tweak our strategy a little bit. The proof is in the pudding. The data will tell you what you need to do or where you need to put your dollars, what's working and what's not. So it's super critical to make sure you're looking at all of that.
I'm going to make a quick comment on that too. So you're totally right. And I think when we kind of go back to the question that you had before around, you know, what should advertisers do to stay competitive? And I mentioned it's really about kind of being a lot more strategic. That's exactly it. Is kind of gone are the days, or going away are the days of people being really in the minute details of each individual campaign. But now are the days of someone really needing to be smart and strategic about how you're actually allocating the budget across different platforms, right? So like what you just mentioned, where, you know, if we see conversion rates, for example, struggling on Google because of the nature of the industry, maybe we know that putting all of our eggs in that one basket is no longer the right case. And we should try to diversify our portfolio a little bit more, because maybe some other channels are not seeing as much of an impact from the conversion rate degradation. So it's really the way we be competitive today is to have someone who is really understanding of all of the different pieces, not the campaigns, but the kind of pieces of your advertising, and coming up with a strategic way to allocate the dollars across all of that.
And that's why it's so important for, you know, when a service company is working with a marketing agency to collaborate with that agency, right? And keep them informed about their day-to-day, what their call board looks like. Is it filled? You know, what their cost per lead goals are. Have those conversations. You know, I always call our relationships with our clients up a partnership, right? We're not a vendor to you, although in a true sense of the definition, I guess we are, right? But a vendor implies there's no relationship, there's no collaboration or cooperation. Whereas a partnership, it's more like you're both working on the business and rowing the boat in the same direction. And that's where it's super important as well, just to look at the high level and make sure that your strategy is aligned with your goals. And if something's not working, you know, pivot, reallocate it. You know, find out what is working and fuel that with dollars, you know?
Totally agree.
So how can we as marketers then, Kylie, affect change within our strategy using these tools? If we're no longer executing, what are some of the things we're looking for? Like, what are red flags that we're going to see as the negative and say, okay, something needs to be done here?
Again, it's, you know, you're going to want to diversify your portfolio within advertising. You're not going to want to put all your eggs into one basket, because we know that we're going to kind of lose some control over the specific performance within each individual platform or channel. So the goal, again, is to really diversify your portfolio. You know, don't just think of Google for search. Think of Microsoft. Make sure that you're including other types of mediums like audio, connected TV, display, really hitting your user in lots of different places. And so with that, it's going to be important to partner with an agency, right, that has the ability to then start pulling the levers more automatically across platforms and channels. So before, the goal was to kind of pull the levers within the campaigns. Now today, we have to take that a step higher and pull the levers amongst the different platforms and channels. So it's really important to work with an agency that kind of has that full funnel capability and is able to kind of work and partner with your brand across all of the different paid media channels and platforms that are available. So I think at Blue Corona, that's what we really do well, is we are a full service paid media agency. And our goal is to really be able to have access to strategically help our partners place their dollars and their efforts across all these different platforms to really make sure that everything that we're spending is going to give us the greatest return.
Now, Kylie, we've been talking about like multiple platforms and budgets across multiple channels, right? And I can't help but sit here and think, okay, that's great. But again, costs add up pretty quickly. Not, you know, set aside the budget for your impressions or your clicks that you need. Then you have management costs and whatnot. So what about for the contractors who are listening, who maybe just simply can't afford, like their business isn't sophisticated enough. They don't need the full suite of advertising services, YouTube, all that. Like they just need to keep their phone ringing and keep their trucks on the road. What would your recommendations be to them in terms of like channels to maximize or invest in first, if that's their need, more calls, more qualified leads, as opposed to a more robust, sophisticated media strategy?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, at Blue Corona, we work with clients who are both on the need of brand building and lead generation. We have clients who do one, the other, both. So we really work with a full spectrum of clients. And as it relates to clients who are really just kind of needing that immediate lead gen to kind of keep the lights on, there are definitely some platforms and channels that perform better than others for that exact purpose. So we always recommend for like our lead gen clients to first max out on your Google local search ads, right? But first you're gonna start with your local service ads, right, on Google. Really max those out because those are going to be super low hanging fruit. People are gonna be coming to Google and looking for a specific contracting service in their specific area. Those are the real, like, I'm at your door knocking, give me some
I'm ready to buy. Like, I need someone here.
Exactly. Yep. So that's the best channel that we typically see for lead gen clients. After that, we recommend search. So we recommend, you know, running search across both Google and Microsoft. I think people tend to favor Google just because of maybe the kind of name that they've built for themselves. But the reality is that Microsoft is also an amazing platform. And because it's a little bit less competitive, we often see the costs be slightly less expensive. So for a brand that maybe doesn't quite have as much cash to spend on their advertising, when it comes time for search, if they've exhausted local service ads, we'd almost recommend starting with Microsoft as opposed to Google and taking advantage of those more inexpensive, you know, entries to the auction. So again, local service ads, search, those are kind of the top two. Next sort of channel that we recommend is like local service directories. So things like Yelp, Angie, Nextdoor, right? All of those kind of platforms where people are also going in and looking for specific services, being those hand raisers again. Those are the top three types of channels that we would recommend for lead gen clients. And, you know, there might be a client that, you know, their budget doesn't allow them to even exhaust local service ads. That's okay. We just want to start in the place that we know is going to drive the best results and then work our way up as we need incremental volume.
So capture the demand that exists today, right? No need to spend money on creating demand that doesn't exist or people who don't know they have an issue or need your help. Focus on what exists today and is out there first and then branch out is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yep. Especially for those brands that have really small budgets and they kind of can't take on the business of creating more demand.
So how do you know from a paid search perspective then, like, when is the right time to branch out?
Yeah. Great question. So we typically see what we call diminishing returns. When people max out their impression share at around, we'll call it like 75 to 85%. What that means is, you know, depending on what services you're going after, what locations you're going after, there's going to be a set amount of impressions that are happening in the search engine. And so your impression share kind of tells you how many of those impressions are your ads eligible to show for. And so we oftentimes tell our clients or our partners to max out their paid search at about 75 to 85% of the available opportunity. Once you get kind of beyond that, you're typically showing ads to people who are not as qualified. The return starts to kind of diminish. You're maybe more just kind of spending to compete with auctions that are too expensive and don't make sense. So really that sweet spot is, again, 75 to 85.
Got it. And then find the next platform that aligns with your goals, right? So if you still need those calls, maybe Microsoft is it. But if you're looking to build, you know, some brand awareness, maybe you're opening a new market and you need some, that's when you expand into the more, you know, the YouTube advertising, more creating demand strategies.
Exactly.
Got it. You've talked about Microsoft a little bit here. And I want to talk about that because we kind of passed over it and we've just been saying Google, Google, Google. But you're right. I mean, Microsoft has made a ton of changes. You know, they rolled out they partnered with ChatGPT to bring generative AI to their search results. Where does Microsoft fit in? What does the audience look like? And why does that matter?
Yeah, I think Microsoft doesn't always get the attention that it deserves, especially with the fact that they're becoming kind of the default browser for a lot of new products. So you may not know, but most likely a lot of the new laptops that you're buying, default browser is actually a Microsoft owned property. So they are continuing to kind of stay relevant and get a share of the pie. Now, we know it's not as big as Google's share of the pie, but it doesn't mean it's not an important share of the pie. So to that point, you know, there's very much similar audiences on Microsoft as there is on Google. And when you think about platform channels on Microsoft, like search, right? Those are all keyword driven. So it kind of doesn't matter as much what the profile looks like of Microsoft's audience, because if someone's coming and they're raising their hand, they're still a qualified person that we would want to show our ads to and capitalize on that traffic and that demand. So especially when it comes to search engine related advertising, people should really be focused on finding the least expensive opportunity that is, you know, because regardless, it's going to drive them qualified returns. And again, because Microsoft tends to kind of be a little bit overshadowed, right? Their entry to auction is typically a little bit less expensive.
How much cheaper is it?
Yeah. We've seen it anywhere from, let's call it like 40 to 60% less expensive. It's significantly less expensive in their auctions. I want to kind of elaborate on that a little bit more too. So, you know, competition is definitely one big factor in what determines the entry bid for an auction in the search engine space. But a big factor that I think doesn't get talked about a lot is this thing called CPC floors. So CPC floors are basically the minimum bid that an advertising platform will set for an individual auction. So think about it exactly like a non-virtual auction, right? If you go to a real estate auction and you see something you like.
A new bow.
A new bow. Yeah, sounds great, right? The auctioneer is going to say, okay, bidding starts at, we'll call it $5,000, right? That is the minimum bid. That is your floor to bid. The ad platforms do the exact same thing based on how competitive an impression is or not competitive an impression is. These advertising platforms will set a CPC floor, a bid floor. So let's say you have a completely uncompetitive landscape and it's just yourself and, you know, you want to bid 1 cent. There's no competitors. You are not going to get a click for 1 cent because there is a CPC floor that has a minimum requirement to buy that click, regardless of how competitive it is. So I think going back to kind of Microsoft versus Google, Google knows they have the brand equity that they have. And so oftentimes they set their CPC floors to be more competitive or more advantageous from them because they know they can kind of get away with it, right? They are a big household name. And so oftentimes the entry to auction for Google is just higher than Microsoft because in some ways I think Microsoft sort of knows that it's a little bit overshadowed by Google and is willing to let advertisers in at a slightly less expensive rate. So again, Microsoft is typically less competitive, but I think also Microsoft does a good job of keeping their CPC floors enough to allow advertisers to branch into that space at a rate that is going to be less expensive and then therefore drive hopefully better margins than maybe some of the more oversaturated places on Google.
Yeah, that's a real catch-22 for owners or anyone in a marketing seat because, I mean, basically what you just said is Google sets the price. So what's to stop them from saying your CPC that was $5 a click is now $100 per click? Now, do I think they would jack up the prices that much? Most likely not. But I guess you're saying it could happen in theory, right?
Absolutely. And so even kind of going back to the stat I shared about how CPCs have changed over the last year or so, right? We said that we've seen about a 10% decrease on Google. There's a correlation to that. It is not that the advertising landscape there has gotten less competitive. It is 100% that Google recognizes that the home service industry is suffering. And so they are bringing those CPC floors down to make sure that advertisers don't just pull the plug because they know that costs have risen, plus their audience or their customer base is going to be less likely to convert. So Google is absolutely controlling, and any ad platform, right? They are absolutely controlling that narrative. And so to your point, I don't think it'll happen, but tomorrow they could jack up all of their CPC floors to $100, like you mentioned, right? And so the goal is to have people working on your accounts that have that strategic high-level insight to be able to react quickly when we're seeing that a certain platform or channel is no longer advantageous for us. Moving those dollars around, reacting in real time, being super automated and quick about how we are allocating those dollars and having a strategic mindset to that.
Maybe someone out there listening is struggling with like a high cost per lead from their paid search or their paid media. What should a contractor look for in a paid media partner who's in the home services world?
You want to work with a partner that has the capabilities and the tools to react in real time. Because again, the name of the game now is not just what can we change individually within a campaign. It's what should we change at scale across multiple channels and platforms. You want to have an agency that has visibility into all of that information and is able to adjust quickly. So, you know, I think there are some agencies that still do things in, very antiquated ways, but you will see the agencies and the organizations that you should partner with that will really stand out are the ones that start to leverage, accept, adopt automation and some of these other ways in which they are able to then make changes more quickly in real time and adjust to kind of the real time landscape shifts that we're seeing. Not so much the partners or the agencies that are going to be hyper-focused on small individual levers within a campaign, because again, all of those things are going to be going away. As I mentioned before, campaigns like Performance Max, a couple other things I didn't even touch on, like keyword match type changes, right? Where we're losing control over what our campaigns are matching to. All of that desired autonomy by the advertising platform is really forcing, right, agencies to rethink what they are prioritizing. And so an agency that's going to be a strong partner is an agency that is really focused on the strategic initiatives across all of paid media and not the ones who are necessarily over-focused on kind of the small minute details that eventually are going to be out of their control anyways.
You spent a lot of time talking about different platforms, and you and I have both said about how much data these platforms collect and have at their disposal and only within their disposal. But there's a whole heck of a lot of data that's available to marketing agencies, to business owners, to folks sitting in a marketing seat. So what is your approach to leveraging data, and how should folks be using their data to guide their strategy?
If you or the listeners don't already know, right, the kind of trend of 2024 and forward is first party data. So in June, for example, there's going to be a big change where third-party cookies will no longer be available. And just to kind of give a quick rundown of what that means. So when someone comes to the site, right, we can track their activity in two ways. One, by first-party cookies, and the second, by third-party cookies. First-party cookies allow us to capture and utilize data based on what the user is doing on that specific site or domain. So for example, Brandon, if you came to a website and you bounced off and you came back, the site could use that first party data to maybe pop a chat or pop a coupon or something specific to your activity on that website. Whereas third party cookies, it tracks information about a user across domain and across device. So for example, if you came to kylies.com, did whatever, and then you went to Google and you searched for something, right? That information is cross-domain information that third-party cookies right now can capture.
Is that the same thing as like on an iPhone when you see you open up or download a new app and it says ask app not to track or allow it to track? Is that part of third-party, first-party cookies?
That right there is a third-party cookie-focused initiative, right? Where if you can, if for example, if TikTok, right, wants to get information about what you've done on your Google app or on your Facebook app, that's third-party cookie sharing. And so, you know, to kind of go back to your original question, right, it's there is a world coming where users are, or advertisers, right, are going to have to rely more on their first-party data because third-party cookies will go away. And so first-party data could look like information from your CRM. If your customers have submitted their contact information and you know what how they've engaged with your brand, that first-party data is going to be super rich because it's data that the advertising platforms may not have. So the way that you should really leverage it is make sure you're piping that data back into your ad platforms, because if that data isn't available to the ad platform, it's not going to have it. You should also make sure that you're leveraging your first-party data to message and approach your audiences in the way that makes sense. So I'll elaborate on that a little bit more. But basically, if you know that a user has never engaged with your brand before, the way that you message that user and maybe the way that you allocate dollars or bid against them should look very different than a user who had a completed job a week ago. And you know that maybe they are interested in a maintenance package. Using first-party data will allow you to target those users with different messaging and different strategies to make sure that you're actually, you know, really tailoring your marketing approaches to users based on where they're on their journey. So now more than ever, leveraging first-party data in any way that you can is going to really set you as an advertiser apart from another advertiser.
So leverage that data to then personalize the message to Brandon, new customer to Smith's Heating and Cooling, versus Kylie, longtime maintenance agreement holder for 10 years.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And not many agencies are doing that today. And that's a big missing piece.
Is that part of the automation that you're talking about? Like, are there tools out there that do that? Is it a manual process? Like, who should be the one responsible for that? Because that's some pretty sensitive data. And if it's informing the platform's algorithms, we want to make sure that data is accurate, right? So yeah, kind of like who's tasked with that or who should be doing that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the reason why you want to partner with an agency that has rich tracking data and also has integrations between your CRM. So for example, you know, at Blue Corona, we work with many clients that use ServiceTitan, for example, right? They have all that proprietary information that we can automatically leverage. Having an easy route to share that information back to the people who are managing your advertising is going to be kind of the holy grail, right? Like, you want to partner with a company that is prepared and has the right tools in place to leverage your first party data at scale. So that's a really big important piece as you're thinking about who you're going to partner with for advertising.
I think it's important too, as we talk about first party data, not only from a tracking standpoint, but from a marketing standpoint in the future. You know, I can't tell you how many owners I talk to and, you know, they say revenue's down or it's flat or my maintenance program hasn't really taken off, and they don't focus on their existing customers and their marketing at all. They're all concerned about, you know, paying per click on Google to generate a new customer, but we forget about how much cheaper it is to resell Kylie on her second system from you 10 years down the road, right? And I think that's also important because you mentioned ServiceTitan. Like, ServiceTitan has tools to be able to funnel that data into Google Ads like pretty seamlessly, but it all stems on tracking and having the visibility into that data. And, you know, that's a big reason why, I mean, Kylie, I know you're somewhat newer here at Blue Corona, but I'm a dinosaur, right? I've been here coming up on 10 years. The company's coming up on our 16th year in business. So a true dinosaur. But that's the value that even when I first came on board in 2014, that we were doing manually. It was the value of first party data. That's why we tag phone calls. Like, that's why we track and record and have a team that tags phone calls as a new customer lead, existing customer lead, whether that was a voicemail lead out of your service area, right? Because that information is incredibly valuable when it comes to either improving future marketing performance or identifying gaps, you know, operationally speaking, stuff like missed calls or things like that, that might be hindering your marketing's performance. So it all stems from tracking and analytics. And there's a whole heck of a lot going on with that right now. That probably warrants its own episode, right?
It probably does. I think the one-liner there is, again, you know, really vet your partners, make sure that they have the capability to track and understand the quality of your leads at a really minute level, because that's going to be super important for all the work that you do.
Well, Kylie, we really appreciate you coming on, and thank you. We'll have to have you on again. I don't think this is going to be the first time yet that you're on the show.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Kylie.